So is everybody having a good time here? All right, all right. So I would like to introduce Mr. Marvin Washington, who's going to take a microphone. Do you want to introduce yourself on the microphone?
Oh, you want me to do my own introduction?
Yeah, I'm gonna have
you.
Let
me take your mic then.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. Hey guys, I'm Marvin Washington. Played in the NFL for 11 years, picked up a Super Bowl ring with the Broncos in 98, and they had a pretty good year this year. And I came about this through, you know, I consider myself a CTE concussion advocate because I've learned about, you know, the CBD that acts as a neuroprotectant, and I've written about CBD and THC in the Huffington Post, New York Times, been in A-Rod's deal with the Players Tribune talking about this, and I definitely want to, you know, I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, and everybody knows the benefits of THC and CBD, but I just want to, you know, keep spreading the word and getting this, you know, into the athletic field and form and have athletes get educated on this and knowing the benefits of it. And if there's ever a sport, and if there's ever a sport that needs to be experimenting with THC and CBD as a pain relief, it's football. And that's why I'm here, because I have too many of my teammates and ex-teammates and peers that are suffering from, you know, the NFL's industrial disease, which is CTE, and also they're dealing with opiate addiction. And so I definitely want to change that, and that's why I'm here. Want me to do the announcement? Go ahead. Okay, good deal.
Okay, and next up, Ricky Williams, Heisman Trophy winner from Texas.
We got some Saints fans out there, huh? Yeah. So I just want to do a brief introduction here. I want to first say that I'm very happy and I'm proud to be here in the state of Texas talking about cannabis. And I think it's been far too long, and thank goodness that the time has come. And so I want to thank you all for being here, showing your support, and you know, my story with cannabis and the NFL is pretty well covered. It's pretty well covered, and you know, I think what brings me here are a couple of things. One is I think I share a similar story to a lot of people, and it's something, you know, it's sometimes in life you have to make choices that aren't popular choices, but you know in your heart it's the best choice for you. Sometimes you have to deal with the consequences, and I think it's brave souls like myself and like you out there who are willing to deal with the consequences and keep moving forward are the reason that we're able to meet here and talk about cannabis today. And I think, as Marvin touched on, there's so many great, great benefits that we can all attest for, but to be realistic and to be responsible, I think we have to look at the plant and look at the pros and the cons. And so the reason I'm here really is about, I'm all about research. I'm about finding out as much information as we can and getting the medicine in the hands of the people that need it the most. And I agree, you know, my brothers, the people that I went to war with on Sundays, my teammates, I see far too many suffering from being in pain all the time, from being confused, from not having an idea, from not believing that there's anything out there that can help them, from opiate addiction. My big thing is, you know, pain is part of life, but suffering doesn't have to be. And if we can find a way to help people suffering from anything, let's do it. I think that's our responsibility as human beings. So I look forward to talking to you guys more during the panel. So thank you.
And the third participant in our panel, Mr. Jim McMahon.
Howdy, everybody. It's great to be back in Fort Worth. I've been coming here 35 years for the David O'Brien banquet, so I've met a lot of great people here. I love coming here, and especially this weekend. I think it's about time the nation opens their eyes and figures out this is not a drug. You know, it's a healing herb, and how it gets lumped in with cocaine and heroin and everything else is ridiculous. It's helped millions of people, and it's going to continue to help millions of people. I've been a supporter of it long before it was even thought about being legalized. So I played 15 years in the NFL, and they fed me more painkillers and more. They shot me with more stuff that I don't even know what it was. None of that really helped, but this did. It helped me sleep. It helped me get over my pain, and I'm not ashamed to be up here talking about it. I look forward to the day when it's legalized everywhere in this country, and I think we'll be a lot better off if we get off these pharmaceuticals. So thank you guys for coming, and we'll be up here taking questions. So thank you guys very much.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Marvin, I know that you have a very big announcement to make. Can we have you grab one of those microphones, either there or here?
No, I'll come from there.
So just one quick, very big announcement.
Yeah, I want to make an announcement. As I said, I'm a CTE, concussion advocate, and CBD and THC, knowing the benefits of it. And I've had so many peers of mine and current players, because I'm still around the game, that have asked me, you know, what is out there and what can we take? And I told them, from our perspective, help was on the way. Well, today I want to announce that Medical Marijuana Inc. is launching HempMed Sports. And we're going to have the first product to meet all the qualifications for a world anti-doping for a cannabis product. And it has, I mean, that's kind of big, guys. It's going to have no THC in it, and the 207 banned substance on the world anti-doping list is not there. So that means every athlete in the four major leagues, college athletes and high school athletes, can take this product. There's going to be a water product, there's going to be a pill, there's going to be a cream for joints and what have you, and it's definitely going to help older ex-players like myself that wake up every morning with the creeps and bumps. But we're launching this product in March. One of the things that we're going to do, have a program for the athletes that cannot afford it, we're going to give it to them. But we definitely are going to have a program for ex-athletes and current athletes, and so as early as next year, you're going to have current athletes in all four major league sports that's using a cannabis-based product, and that's the announcement. Thank you.
Doesn't get any better than that. So I think what we'll do is we'll kind of pass along some questions, and why don't you tell us about the NFL's pain relief and pain management protocol? Who wants to take that one on?
I'll start. So, talking about the NFL. So, when you have a bump or a bruise, that's bad enough that you go see the trainer. Because I learned in my career that it's a waste of time to go see the trainer. Because when you see the doctor, you sit down and then say you have a knee injury, he'll manipulate your knee to make sure that it's sturdy enough, and then basically he'll give you strong anti-inflammatories and say take one of these every night before you go to bed. And if the coach gives you a hard time because you're not giving 100%, tell them that you're clear to go half speed. So basically, they just give you pills. And I remember for me one day, I was sitting in the training room watching the players and the team come in one by one, each guy getting a pill from the doctor. And I realized, wow, we have to take pills on a daily basis just to practice. And that's when I promised myself, you know, I got to find a different way, because I know if I have to take these pills every day to practice, it's not going to be good for my body when I'm done playing.
You know, and I kind of want to, you know, expound on that, because he's right about the pills. There's a pharmaceutical regimen that guys get into starting in training camp, and it ends at the end of the season most of the time. You know, you have to take the anti-inflammatory starting during the week just to get through the practices and what have you. And then for the game, they're going to give you pain blockers. I know Toradol was big when I played. I know some teams abandoned, but some teams are still doing it. And after a game, you're taking the pain pills. And then you start this over again. And you're doing this up from 16 to 18 to 22 weeks. So that's why we want to get guys off the pharmaceuticals and get them on a plant-based get them on some plant-based products, because as I've said before, and this is one thing that I keep preaching, is I've seen guys leave the game addicted to pharmaceuticals, but I've never seen a guy leave the game addicted to marijuana.
Now, when I first came into the league, you'd walk into the locker room and there'd be literally bowls of pills, uppers, downers, you know, for whatever mood you were in. You could take whatever you wanted, and they were freely given out. I tried to get off them. I couldn't. I played for 15 years. I had 18 surgeries. So I was pretty much eating painkillers all my whole career. I couldn't sleep. I was having a lot of trouble sleeping. You're going to the bathroom. Those things will lock you up. You don't go to the bathroom for weeks at a time. It's not good for you. But I've never had any side effects smoking herb or eating the edibles. I mean, it's like I said earlier. It's a medicinal herb. It's not a drug. And finally, if we can get over the stigma of that, I think we'll be a lot better off in this country.
Great. Okay, so here's a question that you probably don't get asked that often, but what percentage of NFL players do you feel really take cannabis medicinally or recreationally?
So the question is, what percentage of players use cannabis medicinally or recreationally? Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, for me, I think with people who aren't as educated, and I think most players in the NFL are not as educated, I don't think a lot of people really recognize the difference between recreational and medicinal. I mean, and again, when I played and I got in trouble with cannabis, it was over 10 years ago. And for me, you know, I'd get home from practice in the evening, and my body would be hurting, and my mind would be racing, thinking about the game. And for me, I would use cannabis just to relax, to chill, and to allow myself to get some sleep and to allow my body to recover. But everyone, all the information I was getting from the NFL, from my coaches, from my teammates, is that I was using it recreationally. And so I think that's one of the reasons it's important to get the information out there so people can be educated so they know for themselves. Am I using this medicinally or recreationally?
And one thing I want to say is this guy sitting next to me, I think in 15 to 20 years we're going to look back and we're going to see him as a trendsetter and a pioneer, and we were wrong. And I call him the father of cannabis in sports backstage, and I believe that he is. What percentage of guys use it? You know, I know a lot of guys smoke it recreationally. I can't put a percentage on that. But guys have, this is the information age, and guys have much more information than we had when I played. And I believe, and I know some guys that vape and take edibles instead of taking those pharmaceuticals. Because those, like you said, all the side effects that are there, and they're addictive. You don't want to do that for 7 days a week for 16 or 17 weeks. So I know some guys, they come home on Wednesday, they have dinner, and then they go watch, study their film, and they vape or take an edible, and then they wake up the next morning and they go to practice. There's no side effect, but you wake up the next morning, you have to coat your stomach and get something to eat, and then you have to take your pharmaceuticals. There are a small percentage of guys that are educated and doing it medicinally, but I believe that's going to grow and change.
And like I said earlier, this plant has been demonized so bad back in the 40s and 50s, and how it got lumped in with cocaine and heroin is beyond me. But it's a medicinal herb. You know, it's a very pliable product. It can make clothes, it can make rope, it can make you feel better. And that's the reason we're here, because we all feel a lot better now that we've gotten off the pharmaceuticals and doing something that's grown naturally. It grows naturally everywhere in the world. And there's a lot of products. Cocaine plant. Cocaine plant's not bad for you. It's when man gets a hold of it and puts chemicals in it, it becomes bad. But this stuff, it's naturally grown everywhere in the world. And if God didn't want you to have it, he wouldn't have put it here. So enjoy it.
So I think everybody here is all about breaking down stereotypes. We've seen children, infants, people around the world who are benefiting from this plant that has been around for a long, long time. How would you advise people to get over those stereotypes of being associated with cannabis?
Well, just be around it, because some of the stereotypes and negative connotation is, you know, somebody that smokes marijuana or uses it is lazy, unmotivated, unfocused. and all those other things, and that comes from, like Jim said, from the 30s and 40s and Reefer Madness and all that. But, you know, I know plenty of athletes that smoke marijuana since they were in high school. I smoked marijuana when I was in high school, and I was able to hold down a job. I was able to go to college and be able to sacrifice and do the hard work to get to the NFL. I haven't seen a lazy, unfocused guy. And so, you know, just being around guys and us getting the word out, it changes that. And I believe it is changing. I believe there is a movement in this country, because I think we're kind of behind on the research and of the cannabis plant. And so we need to get up to speed.
And I think a big part of overcoming the stereotype is people just being more outspoken and being themselves. You know, I think what hampered me for a long time is I started to believe the stereotypes, even when I was using. And I didn't really start using cannabis until I got traded to the Dolphins in 2002. And I wasn't using a whole bunch. I was really using it to medicate and to deal with playing in the NFL. And that year I led the NFL in rushing. And so, you know, I started to overcome the stereotype myself. And I think the biggest thing to overcome the stereotype is stop believing it. And start living something different. And I think if we open our minds and we're willing to put our necks out there and be ourselves, I think we'll prove to ourselves that we're okay, and we'll prove how wonderful this plant is. And also, I think we'll show other people.
Now, there's no documented cases of cannabis killing anybody, but there's plenty of documentation about these pharmaceuticals that kill hundreds of thousands of people a year. And all they do is take them off the market. They don't even get a slap on the wrist. So this stuff, I mean, this is the way to go. It's natural. Like I said, enjoy it, because I certainly have.
All right. Now here's a little more serious question. If you could advise the NFL on cannabis use or a cannabis policy, what would you say?
Say, let them have it. Get them off these damn pills that everybody's taking. They're ridiculous. You know, I was eating over 100 Percocets a month, even after I retired. I couldn't get out of bed without taking some pills. And as soon as I retired, I had my whole body tested, my liver functions, my kidneys, and everything else. And luckily, they weren't that bad. But now they're like a newborn now, since I've been off those pills for 20 years.
Exactly. And like I said earlier during the introduction, if there's ever a sport that needs to, you know, have use or experiment with cannabis for pain relief, it's football. And I have spoken to our, you know, players union, NFL PA. And whenever there's a dangerous industry, and I believe football is a dangerous industry, it's the union that leads the way on the safety issues. And I've talked to them about they have something called TUEs, which is temporary use exemption, and they let the players use banned substance like Adderall and Ritalin. Why not try it with the teams that are in Oregon and Colorado with some of the players there? Because I know some of the players for those teams are using marijuana, but let's see if we can do it medicinally for these guys. That, you know, that's a start, and then see how it works out and follow the science.
I think at the very least two things. You know, I think they need to change the drug program. You know, someone like me, who I always felt like I was a good person, an upstanding citizen, but I got into the NFL's drug program and I felt like a criminal. So, you know, I think they need to change that program. I think it's important for people that do have an issue, but I think sometimes people like me who don't have an issue get tied up in it and almost ruin my career. So I think they need to look at the drug program, not make it so punitive. To look for people that really need help and offering them the help. And I think the second thing is the NFL has enough money that they should be out in front doing research on how cannabis can help with brain trauma and pretty much any other kind of injuries.
One of the most ridiculous statements I keep hearing is that it's a gateway drug. You know, I've never smoked a joint or had an edible that made me want to stick a needle in my arm or take something else. It's a ridiculous statement, and hopefully that'll go away pretty soon.
Okay. So do you feel that the NFL is doing everything that they possibly can to help current and former players?
No.
They really don't care once you're out of the league. And that's unfortunate. There's plenty of guys that are out there hurting right now. I've had three teammates myself commit suicide because of the problems they had. I myself was contemplating that at a certain time, but I found doctors in New York that actually figured out what was wrong with my head, so I know I'm not crazy now. But, I mean, we're heading in the right direction. As long as we keep this momentum going and get the information to the people that really need it, I think we're heading in the right direction.
You know, the thing is that Roger Goodell always wants to say protect the shield, you know, but you can't have former players, you know, dealing with these mood and behavior disorders and addicted to the opiates and leading all the way up until suicide. You know, we're part of the NFL family. And NFL, you know, he always wants to say they want to follow the science. Well, like Ricky said, you know, they have enough capital to lead the science and to make a difference in people and players' lives, ex-players' lives.
And as Jim mentioned, many are suffering from CTE, and I think the news media is doing a great job at creating awareness about CTE, but there's a second step. What can you do about CTE? I saw you grab that microphone, Marvin. You go for it.
Well, yeah, that's kind of my, I'm sorry about that, guys, but, you know, like I said, the NFL needs to follow the science, and the government has a patent for it, and one of the companies that's under Medical Marijuana, Inc., has that patent, and it has shown that CBD acts as a neuroprotectant and antioxidant for the brain. And so the NFL has an industrial disease, and they still haven't done anything about it. You know, everybody's talking about the concussion lawsuit and the money that the player is going to get out of there, but it doesn't cover CTE. The lawyers wrote that out. So the NFL wants to grow their game, be the number one, keep being the number one sport. They're going to have to do something about their safety issue, which is CTE. And if the cure is a chemical out the cannabis plant, then I think they need to get behind it and lead the science on this deal and not follow it.
Well, I'm sure I have CTE, so I'm not worried about it now. But because CTE is caused by your spinal fluid that's free-floating in your brain. It's not supposed to be up there. You know, the spinal fluid is supposed to flush all the carcinogens and stuff out of your brain and let it, you know, go through the whole cycle. And when it's not flowing properly and it's just pooling in your brain, that's what starts eating away at your brain. So my doctors in New York have found out this problem. I actually talked to Roger Goodell. I talked to the NFLPA about these doctors, and they didn't want to have anything to do with them for whatever reason. And I said, these guys have been doing this research for 15 years. They figured out what's going on in the brain. I'm losing my train of thought here. All these diseases of the brain, ALS, dementia, all these kind of things are related because of the spinal fluid problem. And when your spinal fluid is not flowing, that's what's going to cause these problems. That's what's going to cause this stuff to sit in your brain and start eating away at it. So, you know, they can't reverse the damage that's been done to me, but at least they can keep me from having the suicidal thoughts, having the sharp pains in my head. I have to go back every 2 months, back to New York, so it's time-consuming, and it's not very cost-effective. Hopefully, there'll be more doctors around the nation soon that can do these procedures that these guys do for me. I mean, it's non-invasive. It takes me longer to lay on this chiropractor's table and get in the right angle where they put this thing. It's like a drill bit behind my ear, and it vibrates the bone just enough to move the stuff out of my head. I had a broken neck at some point in my career nobody told me about, so that's one of my blockages. My C1 and 2 are twisted 25 degrees. That's literally choking off the spinal fluid. And these guys figured that out. And I told the NFL about it. They don't care. They don't seem to care.
Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's talking about it. I mean, with CTE and all these diseases they're finding with retired football players, everyone's talking about what they can do to prevent it in the future. But no one's talking about treatment. And I think it's unfortunate that, you know, we've sacrificed our bodies, our lives. Yeah, we got paid. Not as much as the NFL did, but we sacrificed so much. I think the NFL needs to do more to take care of its players.
Absolutely. So there is a compound in cannabis, which is CBD, and as Marvin had mentioned, it is an antioxidant and a neuroprotectant. What is your experience with CBD use?
Well, I wanted to cover the cannabis, CBD and THC. Like I said, I smoked in high school THC for recreationally, but I'm on a CBD regimen because I told a buddy a couple months ago, I believe we all had it to a certain extent. You know, and one of the things that gave me pause is Frank Gifford. You know, when it came out that he had it, that kind of gave me pause because, you know, you can't tell the story of the NFL without Frank Gifford, but he had a great career post-football. And if he had it, what hope is it for us? But I'm on CBD, and I hope that we can get the research and behind this deal, man, and the cannabis plant. And I don't know if anybody know it. I just found out today that the United States government has sent over $500 million out the country for cannabis research. That money needs to stay here, and it needs to be rescheduled. Make America great again, right? But that money needs to stay here, and it needs to be researched, and let's see the benefits of the cannabis plant.
So I currently live in Austin, Texas, and because of the laws, it's not something that, you know, I can read as much as I want. So I've been making pretty regular trips to California to learn more and to actually use CBD. I mean, one of the things, I did a good job the last half of my career, you know, doing yoga, receiving a lot of body work, taking care of myself. And so I've been doing all right. But just in the past 6 or 7 months, I've been getting tingling sensations down my arm and pain in my neck. And so I've really made it a point to look at all the options of what I can do to take care of myself. I mean, I'm only 38, and I plan to live at least another 30 or 40 years. So,
damn, you're a young kid, ain't you? We actually have a cannabinoid receptor in our brain. Why is it up there if we're not supposed to be using it?
Absolutely. So I have to ask, if you had to do it all over again, would you? In football? Would you pursue your career in football?
I'd definitely do it again. I mean, now that I know what's going to happen to me, but... I think the problem is a lot of guys get misdiagnosed. You know, when you don't get the proper diagnosis, you know, there's gonna be problems in the future. And a lot of times guys, they don't get the proper advice or the proper diagnosis. And when that happens, it's just gonna be trouble down the line. And you see it day in and day out with the ex-NFL guys.
Yeah. I mean, I would do it over again. I mean, you know, I look at all the wonderful things in my life that wouldn't be in my life if it wasn't for football, and it's a game I love. I mean, I still on normal Sundays I play flag football with a bunch of my friends, and so it's in my blood. I think I would have taken better care of myself earlier in my career, and I probably would have used cannabis earlier in my career, but I definitely would have done it again.
Yeah, let me say that, you know, I would definitely do it again. And me speaking out and us speaking out, we're not trying to get rid of football. We're just trying to make it safer and get the information out. And the one thing that I wish I just had is more information, because when I played, there was no concussion protocol. Guys didn't know the negative side effects of that, the plain blockers that we were given, Toradol. If you read the side effects of that, it shouldn't even be on the market. And this is something that the line was from across the stage before the game, where guys are lining up getting those shots like an epidural in their back to go out there and play. I just wish I had, you know, more information, but I would definitely do it again. And I'm a football fan. I love football. I grew up a Dallas Cowboy fan and was fortunate enough to play in the NFL, and I'm pro football at all levels. So yeah, I would do it again.
And so for those of us who haven't experienced a concussion, can you explain in your words what that feels like to go through a concussion?
You just get pretty foggy. A lot of headaches and you can't function properly. You know, your equilibrium's off, everything's off, and it's just, you know, it goes away eventually. But if you continue to play with stuff like that, it's just going to compound itself. And like I said, the longer you go without the proper treatment, it's just going to get worse.
I experienced a bunch of concussions, and it's unfortunate, but I think especially linebackers, running backs, some safeties, it happens so often that you just kind of get used to it. Some of my worst concussions, and I probably shouldn't laugh about it, but I remember I was in college, and we were playing Missouri, and I jumped over the line of scrimmage to fake on the end zone, like I had the ball, and I bumped heads with the linebacker. And I went back to the sideline, and I could have swore I was in the middle of a video game. Because the new video games, they look so much like the real stadiums. So I was sitting down on the bench having deja vu, like I'd experienced the whole game before in a video game. So concussions can really mess you up, and I think they're extremely important. And I think it's important to educate players on what it feels like to have a concussion. Because like I said, I started training camp on the second day. My bell is rung, and I have a headache for about a week and a half. And then I think eventually, sometime in the season, it goes away. So it's a serious issue that I think players need to take more seriously, and I think the NFL needs to take more seriously.
The same thing. You're talking about that headache during training camp, and it went away after a week. Well, try having your hand in the dirt and being on the defense line, and you're banging your head every day. And so they used to call it and just getting your bell rung. That happened with me damn near every day that I was in full pads. Because those are the sub concussions. The big concussions, I've had three of them. They only told me about two of them. They only told me about two of them. But this is something, they have the concussion protocol, but we saw some cracks in there this year. But it needs to be a collaborative effort from coaches, officials, the spotter up in the bench, and most of all, the guy's teammates. Just like the quarterback that was concussed and his teammate helped him up. Well, he should have been telling him, we appreciate what you're doing out here, big guy, but, I want to see you, in your 40s and 50s and having a quality life. We got to get you out of here, because you're already tough by signing up and playing football. Don't play through a concussion.
Now, you all have been a great inspiration to this country and to a lot of young kids that love the sport. I've actually heard advice from one of the doctors that was on the news, and he said, just don't have your kids play football. I don't think that's going to happen in this country. What would you recommend as far as improving safety for the youth in football?
Well, I don't think they should put helmets and pads on until they're at least in high school, because their necks are not strong enough for that. Because you can't have head trauma without some neck trauma, too. And people don't realize that. Once you get past the brain, there's a lot of stuff that's keeping that brain up there. And when those things are out of alignment, you're going to have problems. So I'd stick them to flag football until they at least got to high school, and then I'd have every one of them, I'd have them in an MRI machine and get a look at their head and their neck and see what a normal head and neck should look like. And if they're out of whack at all, don't let them play. I mean, it's tough, but you're better off not playing and being able to live than trying to go through that. A lot of these young kids are dying in high school football because their necks and their heads are just not strong enough.
So, for me, I mean, I have a 13-year-old son who plays football. He plays at a small private school, so I'm not too worried. but seriously, it's a dangerous game, and I think everyone up here can attest to it. It's not for everyone. Not everyone can play football, and especially not everyone can play in the NFL. And I really believe, the ones of us who are able to be successful and to make it to the NFL, we're a different breed. And I think that's why we're here today. Because to me, it's not about taking the game away from us. It's about, one, finding a way to make it safer, and two, finding more innovative ways to take care of us after we go through it. I think one of the things that's not talked about is, in order to play football, especially in the NFL, you have to have an amazing capacity to heal. Because if you can't recover after a game and get back out there for practice on Wednesday, you're not going to make it very long. And I think we talk way too much about what's wrong with us and our concussions, and we don't talk enough about our capacity to heal.
Okay. I agree with both of them, and I'm with Jim about when you're putting the helmets on. And my ideal, and it's something that I've bantered about, is start these kids, you know, off and let them play football, because football's a complicated game, but put them in leather helmets like they did back in the 40s and 50s, and that way you take the head out the game. And then you have maybe a rugby coach that comes in there like Pete Carroll does. I believe Seattle Seahawks had the least missed tackles of any team in the NFL because they have a rugby coach that comes in and show those guys how to tackle. And it's not leading with the head. You know, the guys put on that helmet and sometimes it can be used, they think it's a weapon, because you look at Odell Beckham and the deal he had this year with the 3 personal foul, he was launching himself head first at this guy, so he was using his helmet. Take the head out the game for youth football, and I believe maybe they can put the pads on in high school and junior high, because your brain and your neck doesn't stop, particularly your brain doesn't stop developing until you're 21 years old. And these guys, high school guys and junior high kids, they're out there emulating what they see at the pro level, and they're trying to bring it, you know. But you take the helmet off, and you're going to take the head out. You take that take the head out the game. Put them in leather helmets and teach them how to tackle. Teach them how, you know, fundamentals. Teach them how to catch and run, because you can do all that without the helmet.
All right, so. You would let your kids play football. Would you let your kids use cannabis while they play football?
I told all my kids when they were younger, I'd rather them do that than drink. Because you can't function when you're drunk. You can still function when you're a little stoned.
Well, the most dangerous thing about the cannabis plant is being caught with it, particularly here in these Bible Belt states. I have a son that's up in the CFL, and he's on a CBD regiment right now, you know, and some fish oils, because he has more information. But like I said, this is a plant that the Creator put here. And there's a lot more dangerous things out there that they can take, and that's legal, supposedly, going from your prescription drugs to your alcohol. Those are the things that are eating up the fabrics of America, the prescription drugs and the alcohol. There was a friend of mine who was debating a sheriff down in Florida, and he asked him, how many domestic violence calls have you been on? And he says hundreds. And how many of them have alcohol tied to them? He was up in the 90%. But how many of you go to a domestic violence call and has cannabis or weed associated? And that was at 0. So there's a lot more dangerous things they can do than take cannabis.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like I'd be a hypocrite if my son came up to me and said he wanted to use cannabis and I told him no. But what I will say is I'm a firm believer that not everything is for everyone. And so if it's something that worked well with my children and I saw them doing well with it, I'm not going to tell them no. But at the same time, that's with anything. You know, if it doesn't work with them, I'm going to say maybe we should try something different. But if it works for them and they enjoy it and I can see them doing well with it, I'm all for it.
So we have a few more minutes. Are there any last words that you would like to share as far as the Cannabis Gridiron Coalition?
Oh, I'm just glad that this movement's starting. I mean, it's starting to get some momentum because, you know, we have to get off the pharmaceuticals. They're just ruining everybody's lives, and they're pretty damn expensive, too. But this, like I said, this herb grows everywhere in the world. You have a cannabinoid receptor in your brain. You're supposed to be using this. So I'm all for it. I hope everybody else gets on board and legalizes this thing everywhere.
And what I want to say before we go is you know, think back to those boring afternoons sitting in history and government class. You know, and we talked about how African Americans, how women had to fight so hard for the right to vote. And I feel like for me, I've always been kind of on like the outside, on the fringes of society and the way that normal people function. And now that, you know, cannabis initiatives are making it to the ballot, I think it's time for us to step up and to take advantage of what it means to be an American and vote. So I just want to invite everyone out here, you know, like inform yourself, educate yourself. And when you get a chance, step up. You know, it might take an afternoon, but get out there and vote, because it's important.
I feel the same way. I kind of feel like I'm preaching to the choir here, but you know, this is a movement that's happening across the country. 23 states have it, you know, medically, and a couple states have it recreationally. But I think that's going to, more states are going to fall in line this year, and within 5 years, I think every state is going to either have it decriminalized or it has to be rescheduled. That's ultimately what I want. And you know, we have to don't get, you know, complacent or whatever. Step up, educate yourself, and follow the science, because this is a movement. It's happening, so let's keep it going. And I'm happy that it's here in Texas. Who would have thought this?
All right. And how do we keep the conversation starting with you? You're all from different parts of the country. Do you have a foundation? Do you have some contact information you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on social media. I'm on I'm on Twitter and Instagram, but and also I'm doing work with my foundation, the Ricky Williams Foundation, and you know, we're really stepping out in front and finding ways to get medicine in people's hands that can't afford it in places where they have access to it. So you can follow what I'm doing online at the RickyWilliamsFoundation.org.
Yeah, I'm on social media. You can follow me on IG, MWash52, but and I'm on Twitter also. But getting out and promoting it, and now we have this division from medical marijuana called Hemp Med Sports, and I definitely want to get with Ricky what he's doing. And there's another guy that's not here, Cal Turley, and with Jim, because there's strength in numbers. And, you know, people look up to athletes, and they admire the sacrifice and what we did. But let's show them this way, and let's show them that this plant has medicinal benefits and was put here for our benefit. So let's use it and get the word out, man. Let's just keep this thing going, because I certainly am, and I'm going to get a coalition of athletes behind this deal, and we're going to have some strength in numbers.
Well, I'm not on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. I think my girlfriend does it for me, but I still got a flip phone, so I don't do any of that crap. But I'm you know, I don't have any problem opening my mouth in front of reporters and talking about, you know, certain things. And I look forward to the challenge, and I'm not ashamed of it. Like I said earlier, this has been part of my life for a long time, and it's going to be till I die. So hopefully everybody will get on board and realize the benefits of this plant, and we'll be a lot better off in this country. Thank you guys for coming out.